Hello, happy December, and welcome to another episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Got a really interesting episode planned for you guys today. We'll be talking to Brian Bedford with Cisco Systems Sports and Entertainment. He'll be talking a lot about connected venues, Wi-Fi, cell systems, and really the future and present of connected venues, connected fans, and making the most of all the new technology out there to maximize fan experiences and learn as much about your fans as you can. But of course, before we get into our interview today, let's get into this episode's helpful tool. And our helpful tool today is called YouTube Annotations. You may have heard or seen about these previously, but it's basically just if you have a YouTube account, you are possibly missing out on a really cool and easy free tool you can be utilizing within YouTube's platform. First up, just go to your videos or while you're uploading a video, and you can select to add an annotation to a video. There are several ways you can do this. You can add a title, a spotlight, a label, a caption. But with annotations, what's cool too is you can link them as well as place them wherever you want them to appear by time. They can last for 30 seconds, for 5 seconds, for the duration of the video. They can pop up at the beginning, the middle, the end, all of the above. It's a great, cool little tool. And what you can do, you can also link to other places from that annotation. Although YouTube does limit to where you can link. You can only link to subscribe to your channel option, other YouTube videos, or as well as a donation campaign based off like a Kickstarter website. It's really cool to be able to use to obviously gain subscribers for your channel, something that's underrated in my opinion, because having subscribers to your channel is huge for maximizing views and shares, but also to create stories throughout videos. You can link from one video to the next. You see some brands getting creative by creating chapters and click here to view the next part of the story or to view a variation of it. Some really fun stuff you can do, and I encourage you to check it out, learn more about it, experiment with it, play around with it, because it's a really easy, cool tool to make it look like you really are a professional video maker, even though you're just uploading something to YouTube and then sprucing it up. So take a look, YouTube Annotations, a free tool that you're probably not utilizing, or at least not utilizing to its fullest effect. All right, that was this episode's helpful tool, YouTube Annotations. Get on it today. And we'll be right back to discuss connected venues, connected fans, and more with Brian Bedford of Cisco Systems Sports and Entertainment. All right, that was this episode's helpful tool. You're seeing a lot more brands now starting to utilize YouTube Annotations, not just brands, but really video producers in general, and you're seeing a lot of cool things from video transitions to external links to internal links, and it's a really neat tool. But let's jump into the meat of our podcast. Really excited today. Obviously a growing trend throughout sports and entertainment, and it's continuing to grow at an exponential rate, is connected fans, connected venues, having Wi-Fi, having screens all over the place, and really helping fans connect right there. And we're pleased to have Brian Bedford, who is global emerging partnerships in sports and entertainment with Cisco Systems. Welcome to the podcast, Brian.
Hey, Neil. Happy to be here. Thanks, man.
So, Brian, have you checked out any YouTube annotations recently? Do you know what those are, sort of popping up saying, click here to view the next video or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have one that kind of comes to mind, but I've definitely seen them. Very hot, very relevant, and a very, very cool way to get engagement. So I think you're right on.
And another thing, too, for people who utilize YouTube, it's very, very easy. So, but Brian, thanks again for being on the show. Again, he's with Cisco Systems and Sports and Entertainment, so we have lots to talk about today. But before we jump into our interview, we always like to get to know our guests. Everyone wants to work in sports and entertainment. I mean, your job takes you all over the place to venues all over the world. But tell us a little about your career path, how you got into where you are now, and any tips along the way.
Yeah, sure. You know, for me, Niels, it's been a 15-year transition and evolution, so to speak. And so, you know, I was blessed early on to have an opportunity to work for three different teams in the professional and college space, and then transitioned obviously into technology. And we'll talk more about that, you know, obviously as we go through. But You know, my background started in 1997. You know, still a senior in college. I went to a small college here where I'm based in Oklahoma City, and was able to work for you know, the Texas Rangers minor league affiliate here in Oklahoma City as they built a brand new ballpark. Transitioned to that, back to my alma mater, who was beginning a brand new Division II small college football program to coach and run football operations, and then transitioned to TCU to do football operations, and, you know, went from the year before I came there at a 500 record to, you know, the 2 years I was there, we went 23-3 in two seasons. And so was a part of a bunch of firsts through the way.
Clearly, Brian, all your influence there with TCU, you obviously gave some good play calls or something, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, I know that I had a little bit of an input on some of the kids that we recruited, and obviously good players make better coaches, so that's always a rule of thumb. And then, you know, from there, Neil, I looked at, you know, my lifestyle, my family, you know, conversations with my wife, and all those things about what we wanted to do and where we wanted to go and all those things, and that really led to a transition to get into another aspect of sports, not necessarily working on the team side, in this case, after 6 or 7 years, but looking at, you know, my passions and my interests of technology and helping teams, leagues, conferences, coaches, et cetera, and fans kind of come full circle. So went to Exos Digital, kind of one of the leaders in kind of the back of office film and digital media business, and was able to help scale that. We were a 50-person company when I came, and when I left, we were nearly 200. And then came to Cisco about 2 years. And so I've been blessed that I've been able to see kind of full circle technology in sports, both back of house, front of house, and there's really never been really a better time to see the confluence of technology and sports and the business innovation come together in this space. It's been really fun, and that's what's really cool about Cisco, is you get a chance to see it on a global basis. You get to see those trends, and you get to really see how that's coming together and what people are, how they're innovating. That's a lot of fun right now.
That's awesome, man. I love the fact that you started out at a small level, got involved in your alma mater, to D2, up to D1 with TCU, and really just stepped up the evolutionary chain, learning along the way. But tell me briefly, back in 97 when you were just starting out, what was sports and technology? Was there what was going on there in the space? Was there much at all, or was there only really the really, really big global players who could even afford that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think it, you know, it's pretty limited. I mean, you know, if you look back on it then, I mean, you know, that's well before high definition video, and I'm dating myself, but it's well before high definition video, and probably the biggest purchase that you would see when it comes to quote sports technology would be one of two things. It would either be the video or audio system that would go into your stadium, or it'd be actually the film transfer or digital editing system that the coaches would use. I mean, those were the really two big capital purchases that sports and teams and leagues were kind of focused on. And so, you know, you're talking, you know, the web was just in its infancy as it relates to sports. So, you know, it's obviously been interesting. There's been a lot of iterations of how sports and technology have changed. So I think I still don't think we're near towards the end of it, but we're in a fun spot for sure now.
I mean, to think how spoiled we fans are today, that there was once a time when there was no Jumbotron, where you didn't get an instant replay of that home run. If you were getting a hot dog, you were out of luck.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
So was there sort of a moment in the evolution when it was kind of that light bulb for teams and for businesses going, hey, there's a lot to be done here and a lot of value to be gained by implementing new technologies and really focusing on that space as opposed to, you know, throwing all your eggs in other baskets?
Yeah, I think really that's happened just in the last couple of years, and that kind of plays to, you know, a bit of, you know, what Cisco's about as well, in that you know, I think we're trying to capture you know, business and technology transitions that happen in the marketplace. I think the biggest thing that's happened of late has been where you saw you know, a lot of new construction that happened in the industry, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, at least domestically in the United States. At the same time, you saw the emergence of high definition video, and the ability then to apply high definition video over an IP network was really a challenge in the industry that a lot of people, whether it be consultants or general contractors or teams or whatnot, had never really dealt with. And that impacts not only in-venue, but broadcast and various other things. And so, you know, Cisco was able to really capitalize on that, came out with its first solution product called Stadium Vision, which is kind of an enterprise-grade IPTV combined with live video product. And you see that at places like, you know, Staples Center, the Yankees, the Cowboys, the Anaheim Ducks, you name it. And then transitioning as we look at the industry and add more business innovation to, you know, building a solution for mobile applications and mobile devices. So, you know, we've built out a high-density Wi-Fi platform. We're now doing a live mobile broadcast delivery product we call Stadium Vision Mobile. So Cisco is going to continue to try to be an innovator, given our scale and our global reach and our interest in this space. You know, we're going to continue to try to look for that. And I think all of that kind of coming to a head, Neil, has been why we've seen the industry kind of perk up and say, okay, now the technology's there. Now we really need to drive some business innovation to go along with it.
So for our listening audience, real quick, though, Brian, tell me a little about Cisco itself, what the business does, and how long has sports entertainment been a part of Cisco, or is it even a central part now because there's so much opportunity there?
Yeah, no question. So about 6 years ago, Cisco set out to look at different verticals in the technology space across a multitude of different vertical businesses. And they identified sports and entertainment, again, back to my point of looking at business transformation and innovation. They looked at sports and entertainment at the time and said, man, there's really something there. We're not sure what that is, but we think there's something there that we should dedicate a team of guys. And so literally a skunk work group of guys, a couple of technical guys and a couple of sales guys went out and sought the market, did the kind of an initial industry assessment of what was out there and how we could play and how we would align with the partner community that we have. And fast forward now to where we're at today. And, you know, we nearly have, roughly, around 200 clients across the world in roughly 30 countries, nearly every continent where we've deployed. We have a team of, roughly 50, 60 employees that are dedicated, and then we leverage the extended Cisco marketplace or teams inside of Cisco that are building other technologies that maybe have some applicability to sports, and we're always leveraging those other kind of family members inside of Cisco. So you put all that together, I think we're very relevant today, and now we're really, tasked with. We believe that we've created a bit of an industry, kind of this in-venue fan experience industry. Now there's a lot of people coming into it, whether it be from a mobility play or whatever the case may be. And now it's about, can we help the industry continue to innovate on the business model and the revenue streams and things of those natures? And we'll continue to try to do that as we move forward, as well as technically innovate as we move forward.
Oh, that's fascinating. And your role is really helping to facilitate partnerships. And so have you seen sort of an evolution of who Cisco is talking to? Did it start out more of an IT play and we're talking more to the IT guys, and now it's more we're taking the enterprise approach to it and we're talking not just to the IT guys but the marketing guys, the C-suite, and really everyone who has a stake in building revenue for the team?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things there, Neil. So, my role is really tasked, given I've been in the industry for a while now, being a bit of a liaison to the other members of this ecosystem, right? And so there's a bunch of different people. There are people that are in the typical channel partners, meaning people that resell Cisco products in the marketplace. There are people that also sell into the same type of client base, whether they sell video boards or they sell audio systems or they sell broadcast equipment or some other or a mobile app or anything like that. And so, some of those people we work with, some of those people we kind of reference sell and partner with, some of those people we potentially could build new solutions and new products together in the future. And so, and then there's other types of partners that may be more media centric, that may be rights holders or media companies that want to leverage the products and portfolio that we have and build a business practice around that, to where they can, you know, obviously generate revenue and a source of income to drive their business. Then in addition to that, the second part of your question was around how does our team engage with, you know, the actual customers. And I would tell you that, you know, because our platforms are really marketing and advertising centric in many, many ways, we find ourselves really talking on the chief revenue officer side or chief marketing officer as much as we do the chief innovation officer or IT director. So we kind of come full circle, which is a bit unique at Cisco in that we really talk about the line of business more so now than really probably any solution group inside of Cisco.
It's really cool to hear you talk about how you're seeing customers and others in other industries using Cisco's platforms in very innovative ways, and that's really awesome to hear.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think that there's really four big kind of industry things that we're seeing right now that are very relevant. Everybody wants to talk about how we can impact, you know, mobility, how we can impact signage, digital signage, all things video is hot right now, and really all things social. You put all four of those things together, and riding on top of an intelligent network that Cisco has, that really puts us in a very, very unique spot. So it couldn't be a better time to be at Cisco right now.
Awesome. Let's sort of jump ahead real quick. And this is something that I think everyone has heard about, is this overriding conflict, or almost chicken and the egg argument of, well, there's all this opportunity to get fan data, improve the fan experience, to drive revenue streams, but you can't realize it necessarily until you have this infrastructure in place, whether it is an advanced distributed antenna system for cell service or what Cisco can provide with Wi-Fi throughout and stadium vision. Have you seen that conflict play out in person, and how do you sort of deal with that when someone comes and says, well, it's great that you can do all this, but we don't have the Wi-Fi in place and we don't have the money to invest in the Wi-Fi to realize these revenues yet? And it's sort of, you know what I mean, the chicken and the egg type scenario.
Absolutely, we have seen that, and I think the market is evolving and shifting as we go, through that. I think, you know, to kind of simplify it, Neil, I think, you know, now it's really the cost of doing business is more apparent than it's kind of ever been before. You know, clearly we're seeing the shift from, why should I do this or why should I do these, but really how and when do I do these things? Our belief is with the right technology, the right partners, and the right business plan that, you know, really the sky's the limit. We've got tons and tons of examples, whether it be, whether it be the Penguins and how they've increased their inventory and sponsorship value, whether it be, you know, what the Cowboys are doing with stadium vision. We've got so much now where, again, it's really now a matter of cost of doing business. And I liken it to this. You're not seeing any new stadium that's built brand new right now that's not putting in large video boards, large fascia. They're all putting in a DAS, they're all putting in Wi-Fi, and they're all putting in digital signage. I mean, they're all doing it. And if you were to not put in those core things and audio and some of those kinds of things, if you were to not put those things into a stadium right now, you would get backlash from your fans. You know, we've got, I'll give you two interesting stats. We've got stats that say, you know, a recent poll of college students right now believe that Wi-Fi is as important as air, food, and water. Okay. Another way to say that is, another recent college poll said, would you rather lose your wallet or lose your mobile phone? And, wow. You know, most of the people said they'd rather lose their wallet than their mobile phone. I mean, you can argue whether that should be right or wrong, Neil, but the reality is that's what the data says out there right now. So it's pretty powerful.
Oh, definitely. Are you seeing then, too, that it's not just the big players, but even the small, like smaller college and smaller minor league teams? Is Cisco seeing where there's more opportunity to grow with those teams that haven't even realized the most basics of infrastructure? Or is it also just as equally as much opportunity with teams that have the state division, that have the digital signage, and helping them utilize it to the nth degree?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's playing at all levels right now, Neil. I actually think it's easier when you go to teams or leagues that have smaller venues. You know, they look at, you know, signage, Wi-Fi, you know, all things mobility. You know, they look at it as an asset, whether it be an asset that the league owns or an asset that the individual team owns. You can debate that, and there's different business models that we're seeing around the world. But they're looking at it as a way to really differentiate themselves. And so, you know, I would argue in some ways it's actually easier to work with teams that maybe are starting from scratch, because, you know, they have a very open mind for the most part around the world. They're very, most of them, if you can, you know, find the innovative customers in that regard, you know, they're pretty open to, you know, looking at new business models, and maybe they have a little bit less risk. But we're most certainly are seeing this play at all different levels, Neil. And again, it goes back to, now people believe this is a matter of, this is just standard operating procedure. I mean, you're going to put concessions and restrooms and a video board in a stadium. You're going to put Wi-Fi, you're going to put digital signage, you're going to be able to deliver live mobile video. You just have to do it. That's the expectation now.
So is using some of that data and some of the, just the anecdotal information that this is an expectation, is that enough to sort of make that pitch to prospective clients? Or what are some of the, where is the value being realized from your perspective? Is it data collection? Is it corporate sponsorship sales? Or even just enhancing the fan experience and hoping that drives more, you know, more game attendance? And it's probably some combination of all of the above, but what does Cisco really help push with their clients?
Yeah, well, I think fundamentally, you know, I can give you a couple of examples of where we're trying to drive value with the solutions that we're providing. It is a combination of all of those, but I think what we're seeing with all of our customers and partners that have been, you know, whether it be Bleeding Edge or Leading Edge or just leading in general, is, you know, they really all have a desire to drive change. They want to be an active participant, they want to be an active listener, and they want to respond to, you know, fan behaviors and how those are changing. I mean, you know, 5-6 years ago, none of us had an iPhone or an iPad either. And so, and teams were really just focused on, could they get email, you know, from the GM to the coach, or from the athletic director to the staff. You know, the mindset now, thinking about, you know, how they impact and invoke technology into, you know, 20, 40, 60, 100,000 seat venues, that takes a very different level of thinking and engagement. And so the concept of the live experience is a business in its whole that, you know, we're probably at, you know, kind of phase one of that. And you're seeing some examples. I'll give you a couple. You're seeing where, you know, the Dallas Cowboys took, you know, We want video immersion to be kind of what people identify as. So, I mean, the first thing when you talk about sports technology and the Cowboys is everybody wants to talk about the video board, right? But, you know, and they want to be the biggest, the baddest, the boldest. But guess what? They've got the largest stadium vision deployment for IPTV in the world, over 2,500 screens. So, you know, they've taken that approach, not only in venue, on the concourses, outside the venue, as video immersion of what they're going to do with their fans as being a key, you know, cog in the wheel. And as they move forward and they adapt Stadium Vision Mobile to what they're doing there, you know, on the mobile app, on your mobile device, you're going to be able to see more video. And so, you know, again, one of the biggest global brands in the industry looking at video immersion as a best practice, a value add, and a revenue generating resource across all of those different platforms and systems, you know, is a great case study. I'll give you a different one, which is Sporting Park in Kansas City. You know, they're leveraging VOD. They're with a partner of ours, a company called EBS, big, you know, global player and really the preeminent player in the broadcast replay production, where they're able to deliver VOD to a select audience into their suites and primary VIP locations. A great way to leverage our connected stadium high-density Wi-Fi platform and leverage a really cool and compelling VOD offering that is, you know, near real-time in the venue.
Exclusive content, a big thing.
You know, additional angle content that it's not going to go on Fox, it's not going to go on ESPN, but those fans that bought a ticket that are their, you know, best, you know, partners slash clients can get access to. You know, that's where, you know, people are seeing, you know, again, that's where you're seeing the drivers of business innovation just starting now, which, again, is really fun because every day of the week we get to have conversations with people that are thinking outside of the box, very creative and with new experiences. And I got a whole laundry list of examples, but those are just a couple to whet your appetite, Neil.
Oh, that's awesome. And I think you can see almost looking back with social media even, where you're seeing a beginning of what will probably be a more rapid evolutionary chain of let's get this content and start serving it now that we have the infrastructure to do so, get engaged fans, and start to realize some of those revenue-generating opportunities as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I referenced earlier the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, they're just leveraging stadium vision for them allowed them to double their advertisers and triple their sponsorship revenues. Wow. I mean, guys, that's one solution right there that we've been able to take to market and impact that. You look at the Barclays right now where they're leveraging Stadium Vision Mobile. I mean, a couple of weeks ago they had, we've seen it with their Nets games where they've got like Slam Cam and some other unique camera angles. But, you know, they had a boxing match there a month or so ago and they had a turnbuckle cam. Yeah, that's really cool, right? I mean, that's just, you would never get that perspective. I read yesterday where the Celtics are doing, their new pregame show app called Home Court Advantage. That's exclusive content only on the mobile device, only in venue on the high density Wi-Fi. Delivered, 1 hour before the game. They got it sponsored, brought to you by American Express. So again, we're just seeing the beginnings of really how people are starting to activate this whole in venue fan experience angle right now.
Just some great examples there, and heck, I mean, you're almost making me feel like there's a more incentive to go to the game than stay at home and watch on the couch now.
Well, you know, I tell you, you know, that there is a lot of data that says that, you know, fans are very comfortable with the at home experience. I think the recent data is about 83% of fans say, you know, I'm completely comfortable with what I get to see on a Saturday or Sunday. I mean, you know, what the NFL is doing with the Red Zone and various other leagues are creating with their media partners. You know, it's very impactful. When you go to a game right now, we know the overwhelming data is saying that, you know, they want video to be a part of that experience when they go to the game. And a part of that needs to be, you know, exclusive or unique content. Give me something more. And so if Cisco can be a part of, you know, delivering that more to the table, then I think that's a really good spot for us to be in.
Certainly. And I love the notion of video immersion with the Stadium Vision platform. Can you give our listeners a quick rundown of exactly what Stadium Vision is? And also, in the same vein, do teams or Cisco focus really, do they care if fans are looking at their mobile device at a screen or versus the Jumbotron versus other concourse screens, or is it really just all in the same as long as they're consuming team content?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a debate on the second one there, but I think, you know, you can't control what the personal experience is. I know, you know, you find yourself, everybody, you know, at a timeout or a break in the action. I mean, you look on TV all the time I mean, people are just, you know, focused on, you know, looking at their phone or want to see information. So I think we're kind of over that hump, so to speak. But back to your original question on kind of the portfolio, and you know, I'll try to simplify it for you. Mm-hmm. You know, we really have three solutions that we bring to market today. Stadium Vision, as you described it, is our IPTV platform. So that's digital signage that you would see on a concourse or maybe a menu board or maybe in a VIP suite. And it would include live video and advertising. Okay, so maybe it's an L bar or something, or maybe a ticker at the bottom of it. And there's a bunch of different ways to kind of showcase the advertiser. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I've seen that, or I've seen elements of that. And you might have seen some elements of digital signage. What makes Stadium Vision unique is that it's low latency video, meaning that, you know, if you're watching, the game action and you're watching and the screen's right next to you, you know, you don't want there to be a 4-second delay when you're sitting in the suite.
Right.
Or if you're in the concourse and you hear, you know, the crowd cheer and then 3 seconds later you see the goal. That's kind of a letdown, right?
So it really is complimentary as opposed to a first screen, of course.
Correct, absolutely. So it's a very much a companion product, but it's really an advertising product, you know, fundamentally. So not only do we provide the services to install that and all that, or our partners do, but we also help our clients with how they can build packages and content and advertising and rate card, and there's a whole consultative service on how they go to market in the sponsorship sales aspect of Stadium Vision. And then you go to the kind of the second platform is, again, around high-density Wi-Fi. We call it Connected Stadium Wi-Fi. That's our purpose-built architecture, design, antennas, et cetera, for, you know, high-dense environments or amphitheaters or convention centers or museums, any place where there's a dense amount of people there. It requires a very specific solution for Wi-Fi. Just your garden variety, you know, home, you know, Wi-Fi is not going to work. That'll, you know, you'll cripple a network really quickly if you were to design it that way. And we saw people try to do that. Cisco's really try to take a very innovative approach to how it designs and looks at the complexities of, you know, steel structures and lots of concrete and lots of overhangs and aesthetics and all the kinds of things that we, you know, you have to deal with in sports. And that's
a little beyond the scope of Best Buy's Geek Squad, I guess.
Absolutely. The Linksys network at Best Buy will not quite cut it when you're trying to outfit a Cowboy Stadium. And then what we've done to kind of couple those together is being able to, again, offer a, you know, innovative business platform in Stadium Vision Mobile, whereby we can deliver mobile video to the handheld device over Wi-Fi, over high-density Wi-Fi. We call that Stadium Vision Mobile. And so what that does is you now would have the ability to see unique camera angles on your mobile phone live, up to 4 channels of video, up to 4 channels of data. So, I mean, just think about, you know, the turnbuckle cam, the slam cam, the cheerleader cam, the, you know, coach's locker room cam, all those things that could be, the driver cam in a NASCAR race, you know, all those things that you can kind of think about out there, and that the possibilities are endless. Those are all kind of business and sponsorship assets that, you know, the teams are looking at as really net new inventory. So, you know, hopefully that gives you a sense, Neil, of what we're doing and kind of how the portfolio works together.
Definitely. And a couple quick questions there in regards to the mobile. Well, first off, it's making the point that, especially with that mobile content delivery, you get the added value of knowing what content people are actually viewing. You can actually get, probably, I assume, impression stats, click-through rates, video plays,
absolutely,
and starts. And so you know, okay, well, the locker room video went viral, but surprisingly, the video of the PA announcer getting set and ready also had tons of views. And maybe we should be serving some of that on our web platforms as well.
Yeah, correct. You're right on.
One more question I wanted to ask you when it comes to the mobile and really looking at the Stadium Vision itself as a holistic product. Are there synergies that have yet to be realized where you might be watching a video on one of the concourse screens and then there's a call to action that drives you to the mobile and sort of that back and forth, that, like I said, that synergistic integration between all platforms with Stadium Vision?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have APIs built into our system, so we can actually take inbound triggers actually from the video boards down to Stadium Vision and then trigger those all the way down to the mobile phone. And then do activation against all those platforms. So you're right on, Neil, and that's where the market's going. The market wants to see, you know, small, medium, and big screens, just video immersion on all three of those platforms. Again, some of those are Cisco, some of those won't be Cisco, but video immersion is where you're seeing the industry go as a whole.
That's fantastic. And it's almost the next level where you're going from a digital billboard to that you're never going to be able to drive on the highway and, you know, open your mobile phone and redeem an offer right away or check out more about a product. But when you're at a stadium, when you're at a venue, you can easily just jump on your phone after you see something on the big screen and boom, you have an activation. You have an active customer right there that you can convert.
Yep, absolutely.
Very cool. We're finishing up here with Brian Bedford with Cisco Sports Entertainment and Global Partnerships for Sports Entertainment. Sorry, and we are having a great conversation. Before we move on to our brief with Brian a little bit later in the podcast, I want to get your thoughts about where this space is really going. Is there going to be more increased personalization? Are there obstacles that Cisco is seeing that we've yet to overcome? Where do you see a lot of this going in the next 2, 3, 4 years?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things there. The first is, if you think about kind of a couple of statements that I've made through this, Neil, is that we're looking at market transitions and key transitions that make sense and are leverageable for Cisco and all the things that you kind of mentioned, whether it be data, cloud, you know, kind of apps 2.0. I mean, those are all things that are kind of coming about. Wearable technology, all those things are out there right now. We're going to continue to try to see and look ahead, you know, 6, 12, 18, 24 months. Right now you're seeing kind of just maybe to kind of take the conversation at back up to maybe 100,000 feet, you're seeing Cisco, spend a lot of time and energy focused around where we think the internet in general is going. I mean, we're really the pipes to the internet today. We see the internet now evolving into what they're calling the internet of everything, which is really around connecting, you know, people, process, data, and things, right? Whether it be machine to machine or things like Google Glasses and data and analytics and all those kinds of things. You're seeing, analytical things in the player tracking space, all those kinds of things. Fundamentally, that whole platform of innovation is applying to all of our businesses at Cisco, not just sports and entertainment. So we're going to follow kind of that trend of Internet of Everything, Internet of Things, and that's going to put Cisco in a really right position to be able to tackle a number of different things. I think you will, we're obviously a big player, and, we're going to continue to be a big player in the core network and in cloud and CDN and all those kinds of things. But the whole notion of connecting people and things and process and data is going to be really cool, because you go and let's say you're wearing Google Glasses and you're sitting at the 50-yard line. What's your experience going to be? How can Cisco impact that? And I don't know, but I'm just using things that are out there today, right? And, what's your experience when you drive in? Does your car have a sensor on it that talks to a parking meter that the team owns the parking meter that knows more about you and can solicit things? So there's a whole bunch of really cool things that are working in some other business segments of Cisco around this whole notion of Internet of Everything. We think it plays perfectly into where sports is going.
Fascinating. And is there any is Cisco finding any difficulty with starting to collect all this data and make sense of it for their clients? Or are you going to get to the point where there's almost a saturation of so much data because there is so much we can track now and really being able to tease out what data is actually useful?
Yeah, I mean, there's elements of that data that are, representative and, from a network perspective to Cisco. I think, clearly the teams are trying to get their arms around what kind of data mining they're doing, what kind of CRM systems and social CRM. So, not sure that Cisco will play a role in some of that kind of data mining collection piece of that. I think there'll be elements of the consumer and network that we could, but obviously we've got to be careful, and there's lots of privacy laws and things you have to work through, Neil, there. But you could get into that. But I think as far as saturation is concerned, but I think right now people are just trying to get the basic strategy in place, is what it feels like in the market. And then, put some key technologies, whether that's Cisco or something else, in place to really help them try to tackle some of those problems.
Oh, really cool. And I think it's just awesome to see a huge, great company like Cisco really starting to realize, maybe in the last decade or so, decade and a half since you've been involved as well, that sports entertainment as a vertical is just as big, just as important, just as valuable as any other vertical out there, any other billion-dollar industry out there. And it's really cool to see some of the innovation in the space, and you're right there with it, Brian, and I really appreciate you shedding some light on all that stuff.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, well, that was a great conversation with Brian. We will be right back to have some fun with him in our Brief with Brian segment. But first, let's get to this episode's shareable stat.
Really great conversation there with Brian Bedford of Cisco Systems in their sports entertainment division. Could have talked to him all day about a really interesting subject that's only going to get bigger and more important for teams, venues, leagues, everywhere as we get more and more focused on enhancing the fan experience at the venue and integrating Wi-Fi and really creating truly connected venues with connected fans and creating a personalized experience for every fan that walks into your venue. But we'll be right back with our Brief with Brian to have fun with some quick-hitting questions with Brian Bedford. But first, this episode's shareable stat comes from a recent sports business summit in which they were talking about the growth of mobile, to match up with our theme today of today's podcast, and that is that the Kansas City Chiefs, after launching their mobile app earlier this season, saw an average of 5,000 downloads of their app per week. 5,000 fans per week around the world were downloading their mobile app. A lot to be taken from that if you're not just a Chiefs marketer, but a sports business marketer, and that is that the mobile space is growing. People are constantly on the lookout for apps. They want to be able to follow their favorite teams when they're on the go. Mobile sites are a great thing. Mobile apps within leagues are a great thing. But really, you want to get your fans interacting with your team so you can make them personalized offers, offer exclusive content, and get to know how they're interacting with your team from a mobile standpoint. So if you don't have a mobile app yet, now may be the time to start thinking about it, because there's a lot of different ways you can monetize through a solid mobile app, whether it's through ticket sales, through sponsorship, through exclusive content and merchandise offers. But the fact is, you need to get on that now because fans are downloading it. And it's not just good enough to provide an app, but to provide continued content and usage and good usage of the app. If you just duplicate your website content, there's not much value added. But if fans are downloading that app in such high numbers, give them reason to use it. You want to pay attention to your active users on your app. Keep that weekly average active high, monthly average active high. You want active users during games, not during games. See what content works. Use the data. The fact is, fans are on the lookout for mobile apps and ways to follow their favorite teams on the go. And if you're lacking in this space, now's the time to get back ahead of it. And clearly, Brian and Cisco are well aware of that, as well as teams and leagues around the world that are coming out with apps to please their fans really every day. And like I said, if you haven't done so yet, there's probably a good chance you'll be thinking about it in the near future. All right, 5,000 downloads per week of the Kansas City Chiefs' new mobile app after launch. That's this episode's shareable stat. Hope you learned something from it. Feel free to share it, of course. And we'll be right back with Brian Bedford of Cisco for our Brief with Brian. Some fun, quick-hitting questions.
All right, that was this episode's shareable stat. And it goes right hand-in-hand with this podcast today, with the Kansas City Chiefs seeing enormous growth in the number of mobile app downloads. And it's just getting started with what you can do with team mobile apps. And as we discussed previously with Brian, there is no limit to what you'll be able to do when it comes to engaging fans and serving content and learning more about your fans. But time to have some fun right now in our Brief with Brian segment. 6 quick-hitting questions, and let's get started. Are you ready for your Brief with Brian, Mr. Bedford?
I am.
All right, Brian Bedford with Cisco Global Emerging Partnerships and Sports Entertainment. First question for you. The most impressive venue in terms of technological advancements and integration, and why?
I'm going to go rapid fire here. I'm going to say Barclays Center in New York. Love it. 750 screens of Stadium Vision and Stadium Vision Mobile sitting on a high-density Wi-Fi network. It's rock solid. It's killer. Cowboys, big screen, Wi-Fi, 2,500 screens of stadium vision. It's just, you know, there's nothing like it in the world. And then Real Madrid in Spain, again, they've been an innovative partner for us for a long time. Everything they do is on a network there, so very innovative, very, very forward thinking. And so for my European friends, got to put a plug in for Real Madrid.
Excellent. And I know Jay-Z will be happy to hear about the Barclays Center, and I encourage our listeners too to Google or look up on YouTube some of the Barclays stuff. Sporting KC is a lot of great literature and coverage out there about what these teams and venues are doing. All right, number two for you in our brief with Brian. The earliest game-changing technology in sports venues that you were a major part of helping introduce or in the industry when it was introduced?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's probably a couple things. I mean, the first is probably, you know, at Exos Digital, I got the ability to introduce to the marketplace uncompressed, high-definition instant replay solutions for college football. So the SEC, the Big 12, you know, you name it, in the college space, when they went to high definition video replay, you know, being a part of that was a great experience. You know, now being able to deliver live video to the mobile devices with Stadium Vision Mobile, you know, that's a, who would have thought that? It's a huge development from a technology perspective. And so those are probably the two that come to mind.
And I'm sure game officials and referees all over the world are so happy that fans can now see replays in arena and boo the heck out of them if they don't agree.
Absolutely.
All right, your job, Brian, takes you all over the world, all over the country. So tell me, you know, whether this was for pleasure or for work, the best sporting event you've attended in person and why?
You know, I'm a college football guy, Neil, so I'll say, and I live in Oklahoma City, so, but I'm going to say OU Texas, second Saturday in October at the Texas State Fair. It doesn't get any better than the fair, football, corn dogs, fried Oreos. Put all that together with 100,000 of your closest friends and enemies. Nothing better in the world.
Fried food, football, and fun. That is awesome. All right, number four in our brief with Brian. Brian Bedford with Cisco Systems Sports Entertainment. Number four, the best example or use of digital at a venue you have seen during your career, and it might be something we've discussed already.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned Sporting Kansas City. I think those guys, you know, given a 20,000-seat venue, they're in the MLS Cup now. Those guys do as good a job as anybody. Solid guys.
Excellent. And Sporting KC has been doing a great job for a while, and a really impressive venue. And really, MLS and their live game experience, there's a reason they're getting huge crowds all over the league. All right, number five, moving right along in our brief with Brian, keeping it brief. This is a fill-in-the-blank for you. This is a really big topic these days. Instant replay coming to Major League Baseball, and in terms of instant replay review, coming to Major League Baseball is blank.
Is probably to be determined. You know, I think it remains to be seen what these guys do. We don't have a stake in it, but I think it's TBD.
Okay, well, definitely something to watch. I know baseball has been wanting it for a while. Some people do want it, some people don't want it. I want to keep the human error in the game, so it'll be an interesting track. All right, last one for you. I've been to venues all over the place and also part of a great eating area yourself in Oklahoma City. So the best food at home and best food you've ever had at a venue.
Yep, I'm a Mexican food guy, so I'll take that, chips and salsa and so forth any day of the week. And you know what? Hey, nothing beats a drink and peanuts and a hot dog at a ball game. I'll take that at any venue. That's a staple for me.
Mr. Traditional here. All right.
Yeah.
All right, before we get out here, Brian, it's your turn to talk. Your social media all-star to follow, someone on Twitter or a blog or someone who you think we should follow and why.
Yeah, I'm going to take Chris Yates at Huddle Productions, at Chris Yates 11. Does some really cool Google Plus Hangouts, and he's got about 10,000 followers on Twitter, but very active on Google Plus, plus a blog. So he's got really cool guests on a week-to-week basis with his Google Plus Hangouts. I've been a guest there before, and Chris, based in Dallas, does just a phenomenal job. Been in this space for 20-25 years, and good follow for sure. Very insightful, connected with brands, companies, and so he gets it for sure. So great follow. Check out Chris Yates. Chris Yates 11.
Very good follow for everyone. Chris Yates is a great guy in the sports business space. And lastly, Brian, where can we find more about you on social media as well as Cisco Systems?
Yep, I'm on Google Plus as well. Just look up Brian Bedford. But the best way to catch me on relevant stuff, mostly tweeting industry topics and not about walking my dog, is at Brian_Bedford. And you can follow Cisco. Tons of cool stuff on the Cisco handle. It's at Cisco SESG. That stands for Sports Entertainment Solutions Group. Happy to have the follow, and we're trying to build up the Twitter handle followers on the Cisco side. So love to connect with anybody out there for sure.
Awesome. And for any teams or sports marketers looking for ideas, following Brian and following Cisco Sports Entertainment Solutions Group, really good to see great examples and best practices out there. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brian. It was fascinating to hear about what you guys are working on with Cisco. Clearly, tons of innovation already being done, an amazing future to look ahead to, and you're going to be right there part of it. And again, thank you for joining us today on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast, Brian.
It was great, and thanks for connecting. Look forward to the next time we get to do this.
All right, take care. Thanks again.
Thanks so much again to Brian Bedford of Cisco Systems, a sports entertainment division. Learned a ton from him in that interview today. Obviously a growing space and a good space to start learning about now if you're not already well educated, well informed about the growth of connected venues, connected fans, and all that. But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Hope you're looking forward to a great holiday season and that your teams are still performing well as the calendar is getting ready to flip here. We will have one more episode of the podcast before the end of the year. And then we'll let you know about the plans for the holiday season and getting started in 2014. Should be exciting times ahead. Always a fun time of year. Spend time with family. And, of course, spend time with your sports. And we'll see you next time on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Get more info always at dsmsports.net. And follow me, your host, on Twitter at NJH287. I'm Neil Horowitz. And keep on cheering on your teams. We'll see you soon.